The late November sunlight streams through the window on dozens of boxes packed floor to ceiling in the Nome District Attorney's office. Those boxes, some precariously stacked as high as 6 feet, contain hundreds of criminal case files going back decades. The files are being digitized. Some of the older, less serious misdemeanors may even be disposed of forever.
But like the sex cases, we always keep those, no matter what happens.
That's John Earthman, the Nome District Attorney. He says the felony cases and more violent crimes will always be kept on file. And he gets plenty of those. Over 4 years, from 2014 through 2017, police and troopers referred 102 sexual assault cases to the Nome DA, who was tasked with deciding which reports will lead to criminal charges. Earthman, who has been at the Nome DA's office since the late 90s, gets cases from the Alaska State Troopers, Nome Police, and law enforcement in the Kotzebue area. It's the sexual assault and abuse cases, he says, that are the most difficult for the people involved and the most difficult to charge.
I'm not even supposed to charge something unless I have a reasonable belief that I can get a conviction, that I can prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's a strict order from the Department of Law. In the span from 2014 through 2017, only 36% of the sexual assaults on adult victims were charged in Nome. Statewide, that number from the same time period was barely higher, at 38%. The burden is on the prosecutor to prove the elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt, like in every other criminal case. The most straightforward cases include DNA evidence and a confession from the assailant, but Earthman says those are rare. One of the most challenging things a prosecutor has to show is that the encounter wasn't consensual, as defined very strictly by state law.
Without consent by statute, by law, is with or without resisting. You don't have to resist, but it has to be a result of force or a threat of any injury whatsoever. Big difference between that and just not having permission, right?
A survivor has to testify to prove they feared physical harm to their person. Essentially, if you aren't actively saying no and being forced into the act, the state of Alaska can interpret the sex as consensual.
That's where a lot of the cases, the referrals go, are screened out. That's the word for it, are screened in or screened down.
Survivor advocates say these definitions are problematic for a number of reasons. Keely Olson is the executive director of Standing Against Rape, or STAR. She says the law doesn't account for the way someone typically behaves if they've already survived sexual assault.
Unfortunately, under the law, unless they can express that they fought back, they pushed, they screamed, they made it very clearly known that this was not something that they wanted to do, but rather that they froze and they just laid there, that doesn't qualify under the statute as sexual assault.
And that type of freeze response behavior can be especially common, she says, in child sex abuse survivors. A recent report from the State Health Department reported that over 13% of Alaskans experienced some type of childhood sex abuse, while that number is closer to 20% for Alaska Native women. Almost all of the women who spoke with KNOM for this series reported experiencing some type of molestation or rape before they reached adulthood. When those survivors are assaulted as adults, Olson says it's common for their body to remember old trauma responses.
You're very likely to go back to the same kind of response that helped you survive as a child, which was to pretend you were asleep, to be very quiet, to not make any noise, to just kind of go away in your mind and wait for it to be over. So we see that as a trauma response that isn't really codified in the law.
But then there are the cases involving alcohol. It is illegal under state law to have sex with someone who is unaware, and that includes someone too drunk to consent. But as District Attorney John Earthman says, he still has to prove the assailant knew the person was unaware.
For example, one person reports, look, I was so drunk, I'd had so much to drink, I know that I wasn't capable of making a valid consent. Pretty traumatic, right? So the cops go talk to the other person. Yeah, I was there. I know I had so much that if anything happened between, I know I could not have agreed to anything that happened between us. I couldn't have done it. I've had that scenario, and who do you charge there?
Prosecutors in both rural and urban Alaska say that alcohol is a common factor in sexual assault cases. Frequently, both assailant and survivor have been drinking. Tom Hoffer serves as the DA in Bethel and formerly served at the DA's office in Fairbanks, too. In both places, he says alcohol is a complicating factor.
The biggest impediment in a prosecution is where alcohol influences someone's body or impacts someone where they're not able to remember what happened. And that makes it harder. You know, that's one of those factors. If a witness doesn't remember what they saw or what happened to them.
Both prosecutors said drunkenness can't be used as a legal defense to get away with assault. Even if the assailant doesn't recall the assault, they can still be charged. But prosecution does need other evidence like DNA and strong accounts. These strict statutes and definitions mean that Nome District Attorney John Earthman says he sees many cases of what he calls sexual trauma that can't initially be held up in court.
Now, here's something that happens, though. We don't just dump these cases. I mean, we may not be able to charge them at that time. Some of these cases can be revived and can be charged if there's another similar case later on. Tragically, that means someone else has been a victim.
By the time a suspect is reported to the Alaska State Troopers for sexual assault, there is a 17% chance that they've already sexually assaulted the survivor reporting them in a previous encounter.
I just am constantly amazed at how spectacularly the laws fail to keep people safe.
That's Garen Tarr. Tarr is currently an Anchorage-based representative in the Alaska House who is trying to change the consent statute. In her proposal, the people actually have to give each other permission to have sex. Tarr points out that Alaska's laws weren't written by the people they are primarily failing.
A lot of these statutes weren't written with women contributing to the language at all. I can't believe a woman would have ever helped write a statute that created a legal loophole for sexual assault. We just know women weren't involved, right, in writing these laws because they weren't members of the governing bodies at the time.
Survivors may have brighter days ahead of them. With record numbers of police reports are also coming record numbers of chargeable cases in Nome. Earthman says he has at least 40 sexual assault cases awaiting trial as of late January. For some survivors, going to court will actually mean getting justice. But part of what makes a solid case in court for survivors is good investigation, good evidence, and good police work. Stay tuned to KNOM for part four of this five-part series, where you'll hear about how the Nome Police Department has failed to gather evidence for the prosecution in the past. You'll also hear about what they say they're doing to fix it going forward. Reporting in Nome, I'm Emily Hofstetter.